A former Wake Forest football player has been named the next Bachelor. A moment this radio show, I think, was born for, and we'll certainly get to that in a few minutes. But I want to start with this. Over the last few months, I've been trying to prepare Panther fans for how ugly this fall can get because of how ill-equipped this team really has been left as a result of COVID-19. I've seen fans, heck, even some media, local and national, say the Panthers could be a sleeper this year because of Teddy Bridgewater, how a healthy quarterback can take Carolina to the next level with Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. Robbie Anderson is a great pickup. Joe Brady's going to further unlock DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. But it seems everybody is starting to catch up now on the idea that the longer the pandemic goes, the more and more the Panthers get left behind. Because we keep learning staggering facts about the state of this team. 3 weeks ago, Peter King reported in Football Morning in America, or Monday Morning Quarterback in America. I don't know what it's been since it was Monday Morning Quarterback all those years ago. But Peter King wrote, Teddy Bridgewater has been working out in Miami with college wide receivers and his friend John Brown, who lives down there, former Buffalo Bill, or I think a current Buffalo Bill, but he's yet to meet his own wide receivers. Hasn't worked with his own guys yet. I don't think people realize how long it takes to build timing, to build chemistry with players that you haven't played with yet. But if that's not enough for you, listen to the head coach at the Carolina Panthers, Matt Rhule, yesterday when asked by Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show how his team has been dealing, or how specifically he's been dealing with the challenges that have come with COVID.
I think it's just trying to build a team, trying to get to know people, trying to, you know, make connections, build some chemistry with a team that, you know, the 90 guys, I've met 20 of them. And so just knowing that if I was walking down the street and some of our players, you know, key guys were walking down the street, I might not even know who they were. So that's it's just so different.
Oh, I know your name. Shaq, is it Thompson? Shaq Thompson. I recognize you. That's right. The head coach of the Panthers might not have as much recognition of his own players than Panthers fans do at this point. That's kind of an amazing thing. He went on to say he might not meet his entire group until the start of training camp. We've seen head coaches deal with work stoppages. Ron Rivera dealt with this his first year as Panthers coach. They went 6-10 that year with Cam Newton, but they were still able to get together before things got halted during the summer. And they were still able to work out. Teammates were still able to get together. This, what we're experiencing right now, is unprecedented. And I think the teams that have the least amount of continuity, the teams that have the newest coaching staffs, they're going to be hurt most. Which leads me to this morning's report that ESPN put out there. ESPN did a strictly empirical ranking. Every team based solely on staff and roster continuity. The Carolina Panthers come dead last on that list. 32 out of 32 staff and roster continuity. Of course, they have a new head coach, which means most of their staff's going to be different. There are a few teams that can relate to that. But only 10 returning starters on offense and defense. 10 out of 22. That means 47% of snaps returned for Carolina this year. Dead last. I did feel better, Robert, when I saw that the Dallas Cowboys ranked 30th on that list, though. It makes me think that the bet that we set earlier this week with BDOT, I didn't think Dallas was a 10-win team. I like Philadelphia in that division. I think Washington might open some's eyes this year. I don't think Dallas is a 10-win team. I feel better that they're 30th out of 32 in roster continuity. So I might not have to wear a cowboy Speedo and only that, or I guess a cowboy hat as well.
And a smile. Don't forget the smile.
Oh, yeah. And do a 12-photo calendar, like a photo shoot for a calendar, if the Cowboys don't get double-figure wins. I think the more likely scenario is going to be B-Dot sitting next to me singing karaoke songs.
Have you practiced any poses yet?
Ooh. Might do... Is it Blue Lightning?
Is that what the pose is called?
I'm trying to think what the line from Zoolander was, but I think I just trampled all over it.
I mean, either way.
El Tigre.
There you go.
Got to do El Tigre.
I think you should go with the laying flat on your belly and your elbows.
How about this one? I know this is radio. Turn around and then just peek around the shoulder.
Yeah, the shoulder look over is great, where you can see like the Dallas Cowboys star on your hiney.
I'm not going to be displaying any of this because I don't think the Cowboys are going to win 10 games. Back to the Panthers, though. It's almost going to be impossible for this team to catch up when they are allowed to get together. And we're seeing reports that coaching staffs can go back in the building, maybe starting next week. Jim Harbaugh had this quote earlier today, or excuse me, John Harbaugh with the Ravens. He called the NFL's safety procedures, quote, humanly impossible for football. Talking about being socially distant in weight rooms, being socially distant in meeting rooms, being socially distant on the practice field. He says that's a humanly impossible thing to do. And if that's what the NFL's mandating, how does Matt Rhule end this team? Matt Rhule, who's still trying to get to know his guys. Matt Rhule, who just said to Rich Eisen yesterday, maybe only knows, face recognition-wise, 20 of his players right now. How is he going to build the trust necessary to win as an NFL head coach? How is he going to be able to install what he needs to install in order to have any level of success? How is he going to build the culture that he installed in Baylor or in Waco or in Philadelphia with Temple when he can't put his hands on players and physically try to build chemistry and get to know his guys? It just seems like such a tall order. So I get when we did NFL over-unders this week, I gave the Carolina Panthers 5 wins. I'm going to stick by that for now. But if you're asking me how I feel, am I more likely to be wrong because they win more or win less? I think 5 might be being generous in this instance. All right. History was made this morning. The first Black Bachelor is Matt James, former Wake Forest Demon Deacon. On the football team, he was a wide receiver. Nearly had 50 catches, never had a touchdown, though. He was a teammate with Tyler Cameron before Tyler transferred to FAU. We got to know him during Hannah Brown's season. So the Deacons going to be getting some love during next season of The Bachelor, it seems like. So it feels like the perfect time to bring back The Bachelor Minute.
So it's another ongoing, never-ending series of The Bachelor. Will Matt push the limits of what's acceptable on national TV?
Yes.
Is Matt here with the intentions of hooking up with as many of the contestants as possible?
Yeah! Yes!
Or is it simply the free booze?
Woohoo!
Matt is on the clock. Welcome to The Bachelor Minute.
Thank you for updating that imaging, Robert.
Yeah, no problem, man. I know that's exactly what you wanted me to do.
Wake Forest is Bachelor U. If NC State can call itself QBU, Clemson, LSU, Texas, they call themselves DBU. The Deacs are Bachelor U. Tyler Cameron, of course, threw 3 interceptions in 4 passes against that Jameis Winston-led Florida State team in 2013. One of the passes he threw in that game, though, was intended for Matt James. Matt James now being the newest Bachelor. But unlike Tyler, he's a North Carolina guy from Raleigh. I think he spent time in Wake Forest, North Carolina, which is adjacent to Youngsville, where I grew up. My dad is a police officer still, about to retire in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Went to Sanderson High School, and it's hard not to get behind this guy, man. He seems to be very likable, handsome bachelor, and I did some more research on more of the former athletes that have played, that have appeared on The Bachelor, former athletes in all sports. And there's actually one other Demon Deacon that was a part of the series. Ryan Hogue, early 2000s, was on The Bachelorette. He's listed as a former football player, but at Wake Forest, he was a soccer walk-on. So Tyler Cameron on The Bachelorette was a runner-up. Matt James is the first black bachelor ever, as announced today. And Ryan Hogue, once upon a time, was a Wake soccer player. He was on The Bachelorette. Then, if you're just talking local to the Triad, Luke P., who was the villain during Hannah Brown season, he actually played baseball at High Point just 4 years ago. Wasn't that great of a hitter. 205 hitter, drove in 8 runs, but a lot of local ties, the Triad, to the Bachelor Nation. We're going to be joined by David Hale, ESPN college football writer, in about 15 minutes to further talk about Wake Forest's tie with the Bachelor. He's done a lot of work with Trevor Lawrence, Dabo Swinney, and the Clemson football program, so we'll get into that as well. But Zion Williamson is on the verge of doing something that no NFL or NBA player has ever done. I'll tell you what that is next on The Drive.
Stand by as we continue our dig for the truth and the toy at the bottom of the cereal box.
Oh, got it.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Okay, here's what I want to do. The segment The Bachelor Minute started tongue-in-cheek, where we thought it would be fun to talk about The Bachelor as if it was sports. And now, with Tyler C. and Hannah Brown season about a year ago, and the newest Bachelor being a Wake Forest football alum like Tyler, it's now become very serious. And it's one of the more popular things we're seeing on social media right now. And I have a couple of ideas I want to run past our next guest, David Hale, who joins us from ESPN, ESPN college football writer. And in 15 minutes, I've just done way too much research on former athletes, former pro athletes who have been bachelor contestants. And I'll let you know what I found in my studies when we get to that. But David, it's good to have you on the show. First off, how should Dave Clawson be using this to his advantage, now having two former Wake Forest players appear on The Bachelor and Bachelorette?
I think it's clear that he is the ticket to TV stardom. You know, not everybody goes on to a professional football career. I think the NCAA runs these commercials every year talking about how many NCAA athletes do not go on to a professional sports career. What is perhaps even more lucrative than a professional sports career is a professional bachelor reality TV career, and you will not find a coach in the country that better prepares you for that experience than Dave Clawson. So I would expect that at the end of this, Wake Forest will have the best-looking team, if not the best overall team, because I assume you do need some qualifications to be on The Bachelor of being much better looking than I am.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or you can't have a face for radio and have success on The Bachelor. Here's my idea, though. I think if I'm Dave Clawson, I reach out to The Bachelor, and much like we saw the Boston Celtics having like a group date in Boston with some of the contestants and such, and Bruce Pearl last year do something similar, we need to get Tyler and Matt James running drills at a Wake Forest football practice, trying to get some of the contestants, some of the women, fighting for Matt James's love on the gridiron. I think that could be great recruiting buzz for the Demon Deacons, don't you?
I am all for it. I would actually take it one step further and say that contestants will need to don the Deacon mascot uniform at some point, perhaps during a game. This would be my addition to that. I will say, too, I have watched one episode of The Bachelor in my entire life. I was not really paying attention to it either. So my expertise on this does not run deep. My expertise on Wake Forest football exceeds my expertise on The Bachelor.
Let's get to your ACC expertise. We're being joined by David Hale, who's on Twitter, at a David Hale joint. Dabo Swinney, he's been talked about quite a bit the last few weeks. I'm interested, based on his statement last week and the one that we saw earlier this week, do you believe there's anything Dabo wishes he had back?
It's a good question. Dabo is not somebody who wishes he gets things back very often, because Dabo is very steadfast in his belief that he does things the right way. And I'm not saying that he has been wrong, per se, in how he has responded to any of the stuff that's going on right now. I mean, I think it's not like he has stuck his foot in his mouth and said just the absolute wrong thing. It's really about what he hasn't said, and that he has not been very vociferous in his support for Black Lives Matter movement, for the players that he has on his team who are taking these steps. That, you know, his statement earlier this week came off to me very, very defensive, as opposed to being empathetic to the situation. These are the problems, particularly when you hold that in context with the comments that he offered several years ago in the wake of Colin Kaepernick's situation with kneeling and saying that some guys who do this just need to leave the country. I mean, that's a strong statement. What he has given the last 2 weeks has been kind of mild platitudes. And I think it's fair to ask why there is not something stronger coming from him. It doesn't mean he doesn't believe it or doesn't care. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's, not in favor of or supportive of his guys that are protesting this. But it has sort of been, he has left a vacuum in the social sphere here, and it has been filled with a lot of criticism instead.
You've written quite a bit about Trevor Lawrence and the expectations that were placed on him ahead of last season. And now he's going into his third and presumably final year at Clemson. And he also has been one of the more forward players speaking out against what happened to George Floyd. Heck, even beating his head coach by a couple of days. And I think even eclipsing most of the quarterbacks in the National Football League, I'd bet. What do you find most interesting about where Trevor Lawrence currently is?
Yeah, I mean, look, there is a price to be paid for speaking out. And I think we're at a moment where there are more people willing to listen and supportive and open-minded. But I don't want us to lose trace of the fact that there are people who don't agree with what Trevor Lawrence is saying and doing. And some of those people might be Clemson season ticket holders. Some of those people might be Clemson boosters that donate the program. I mean, some of these people might be NFL scouts who think, I don't need a quarterback who's going to be that vocal and that much of a political lightning rod on my roster. It's the same things I said about Marvin Wilson when he spoke out at Florida State and contradicted his head coach's statements. I mean, Marvin Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, these guys are superstars by college football standards, and they do have a lot to lose by speaking out. You know, I would love to believe we're at a truly different time in society where the shut up and dribble people are going to be drowned out. But there are people who believe that, and some of those people have the power to make life a little less pleasant for Marvin Wilson or Trevor Lawrence. So to me, you know, look, I have been around him for a while, Trevor Lawrence. I know that he has always been looking for a way to use his platform to the benefit of society. I know that he is a very thoughtful and introspective person. It does not surprise me that he has reached this point, but I just don't want us to let go of the thread that, like, it still is kind of a brave thing to do to stand up and do the things and say the things that he has.
One last football thing for you, David. He's on Twitter at a David Hale joint. I love the breakdowns that you do, ESPN college football writer. I don't think a lot of people are appreciating how big of a loss Isaiah Simmons is on the defensive side for Clemson. And this came a year after the entire defensive line was gone to the NFL. Now you also have Justin Ross, who isn't going to play this year. As Dabo announced last week, he's going to be out for the season, unfortunately. How big of a loss is that? And do you feel differently about Clemson now that you've had a chance to look at what this roster might look like without number 11 on defense and without Ross on offense?
Yeah, you know, going through the numbers and just seeing, you know, studying this a little more closely over the last few weeks as I've been trying to prep for what appears like we will have an actual football season, it has struck me that this is not the lap-the-field Clemson team that was last year's team, in my opinion. You know, Simmons just did everything. I mean, he was probably their best pass rusher. He was probably their best run stuffer. He was exceptional as a safety and absolutely terrific in the slot against slot receivers. But, I mean, even in the LSU game, they had him lined up at cornerback on Jamar Chase. I mean, these are you don't find somebody else to do that. Now, I think that there is an opportunity on defense for some of the guys who were not super consistent last year to step up and be better. Xavier Thomas is one that comes to mind. I think Mike Jones at linebacker is going to have a chance to be a very, very good player. I don't know that he's Isaiah Simmons good, but he could be very good. Receivers, I mean, look, they lose T. Higgins and Justin Ross, who were by far their two biggest contributors. They have young talent. Joe Nagata, Frank Ladson, both five-star guys that came in last year, but both were wildly inconsistent, way too many drops. Those need to change, too. So, I mean, look, it's still Clemson. They're still the most talented team in the ACC by a pretty wide margin. But to me, there's not the, you know, as you kind of go through and as I did, I ranked every position group throughout the ACC. Last year, it was pretty much Clemson across the board, giving them number ones. They're still number one in more places than not, but I think there are a few more little cracks there than there probably would have been last year. The question is whether somebody else has put it together enough that they can take advantage of that. I'm not sure that answer is yes.
Follow him on Twitter, at a David Hale joint from ESPN. David, I hope you're safe in the Queen City. I appreciate you doing this, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, man. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, too. That's David Hale from ESPN at a David Hale joint. Coming up, as I mentioned, I've done recon on every former athlete to appear on The Bachelorette or The Bachelor. I'll share my research with you, and I'll reveal my top 10 statues next on The Drive.
All right, I think all the levels are set.
Showtime.
Now?
Right now.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
In honor of the Jerry Richardson statue going down this week, I have my top 10 statues that I'll list off for you in about 5 to 7 minutes, but I have a beef with The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Those who've listened to this show for a while know I love the show. It's my guilty pleasure show. I watch all the time. I have for the last 5 years or so. But one thing that's bothered me as a sports talk radio host is when I see the titles of some of the male contestants and you see professional athlete. Sometimes that's the only description they give. Other times they'll tell you professional basketball, professional, you fill in the blank. And going through all the contestants in the history of The Bachelor and Bachelorette that have been described as professional athletes, what I've arrived at through my research, it's a very loose definition of the word pro athlete. It's kind of disrespectful to other professional athletes that some of these people are labeled, in fact, pro athletes. Let's start with some of the pro football players, some of the ones that were listed as pro football players. Because for every single Jesse Palmer that's out there, there are at least five more scrubs. Ryan Hoag, He spent time at Wake Forest, not playing football, though. He was a walk-on soccer player. Went to the Oakland Raiders and Philadelphia Eagles practice squads, never played in an NFL game before going to Edmonton to play for the Eskimos. Ryan Sutter. I should probably give the seasons that these guys appeared in. Ryan Sutter, another former football player, ended up just on a practice squad, never played in an NFL game. Trying to figure out some of these other ones here. Jeff Popovich, another practice squad guy. Then there are the dudes that just have famous athlete siblings. They played sports. They're labeled as former athlete, former pro athlete, but they just, you know, you just associate them with the person they're related to. Jordan Rodgers is the prime example of this. Jordan Rodgers, he's Aaron's brother, but then the more and more you learn about the Rodgers family, you figure out that Aaron doesn't have much to do with Jordan. I think he might have played his college ball. Robert, check this for me. I think Jordan Rodgers played at Toledo. And then when he goes to the NFL, he never gets into a game. But his celebrities kind of mooching off of his brothers. Oh, that's Aaron Rodgers' younger brother, Jordan. So, you know, he's a pretty good quarterback. That's a guy you want to keep an eye on here, Jordan Rodgers. Yeah, Toledo, I think, is the school he went to.
It was Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt. My apologies to Jordan Rodgers. Staying in the SEC, Josh Murray. This would have been season 10 of The Bachelorette. He got engaged to Andy Dorfman. Then that fell apart. He got engaged on Bachelor in Paradise. He was listed as a pro baseball player. His brother, former Georgia great Aaron Murray, now does television for CBS Sports. Here's what Josh Murray did as a baseball player. And here's the thing. I actually respect him for this. He played 6 years of pro ball in the Brewers organization, was a second-round draft pick, but barely bat over the Mendoza line, 210 hitter. Robert, little bit of review. Do you remember what the Mendoza line is?
Hitting over 200.
Look at you. Proud of you, my guy. Then you have somebody who actually was the Bachelor, that being Ari Lewandowski. Oh, let me be more specific. Ari Lewandowski Jr. See, because his dad was the one that won two Indy 500s. Ari Lewandowski Jr., professional car racer. He never won a race. Finished second one time, third another, fourth another in the Indy Lights series. I've done a lot of homework here today, Robert. Ari Lewandowski Jr., who was a runner-up season 8 of The Bachelorette, ended up being The Bachelor 1 year, seemed to be this ultimate villain to some. Not quite Juan Pablo bad, but still, to some, pretty bad. He was an okay racer, but some kind of oversell how good he really was. Here are my two favorites, though. Two favorites in my research, former athletes appearing on The Bachelor. And the reason we're talking about this, of course, Wake Forest has Tyler Cameron, who appeared on The Bachelor, and the first ever black Bachelor is a former Deacon football player from Raleigh. That was announced today, being Matt James. My two favorites have to be Jesse Sinsack from, this would have been season 4 of The Bachelorette. He actually won, Robert. He was a professional snowboarder. But let's go through some of his stats as a professional snowboarder through the years. Because what you'll find, in 2006-2007, he was ranked 607th in the world rankings. You hear that? 607th. And then in the competition standings, 2007-2008, he improved, or wait, he stepped back to 654th in the half pipe. But then he stepped it up to 458th in the half pipe a year later, and he never climbed higher than 173rd.
Is this world rankings of snowboarding?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Out of the whole world. I think you're a little hard on these pro athletes, man.
But when people see that, they think, oh, man, this guy is killing it in this profession.
I mean, that's their fault for having that perception. I mean, if they got paid to be on a practice squad on a pro team, they're a professional athlete.
You need to Google this guy. Just Google Jesse Bachelorette winner. Because Jesse Sensack, he was quintessential Nickelback of, I think, the Bachelorette series. This was a time where snowboarders and skateboarders were still cool. This guy, even in the pictures you see, he's wearing the backwards cap. Does anybody wear the backwards cap anymore? Like, is that still a stylistic thing that people do?
I don't know. Some people do it more like for utility.
But
like
2005, 2006, that was the thing, man. Get a flat bill cap and wear it backwards on your head. That's what you need to do. Jesse Sensack, snowboarder here, was all about that life. And the other one that I really enjoyed a lot was this one. This might be the most egregious one of them all, Robert. Nick Sutter, pro golfer. This is season 10 of The Bachelorette. Pro golfer. No career earnings. Has never earned anything from a tournament he's played in as a golfer. Doing more research, it looks like he's just a mini tour pro in Orlando. That's our guy here, Nick Sutter.
Yeah, that's a little egregious. I don't think you can call yourself a professional athlete unless you're actually making money.
No career earnings. I want to transition things to our top 10 list. It's time for my top 10 statues. All right, Robert.
No yelling? Whoa. Cut the music. Are you okay?
I'm doing great, man.
Is something going on?
Friday show?
You want me to start this over so you can yell?
Oh, no, man. I think I'm good.
That was weird.
I think I'm evolving where I don't need to yell anymore.
I don't like it.
Number 10, top 10 statues in honor of Jerry Richardson's statue going down at Bank of America Stadium. Michelangelo's David Thompson. Number nine, top 10 statues, the Gateway Archie Manning.
I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
I had no clue where you were going with any of these sounds. How do you pick out sounds for top 10 statues?
They're all trash talk, just straight trash talk.
Number eight.
Or fart noise.
My number eight statue. Felix Pieda.
I don't want to hear your excuses.
Former Oriole Felix Pieda.
Is he a Nickelback and or Imagine Dragon?
He definitely is a Nickelback. Also, I think you need to make up for not playing Nickelback when I mentioned this Jesse Sensack guy snowboarding and wearing backwards caps. Number seven. My number seven statue. The Taj Gibson.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
What movie was that?
Dumb and Dumber.
Ah,
and they look
you.
At each other and then they're happy.
Is the Taj Gibson better than the D'Angelo Taj Mahal? Or is it, how about the Taj Mahorn?
I guess I like the Taj Gibson the best because I know who he is and have no clue who the other two are.
You don't know who D'Angelo Taj Mahal is?
No clue.
Shocker. Number six, top 10 statues. The Statue of New York Liberty.
Ciccolini here may talk like an idiot, but don't let that fool you. He really is an idiot.
Shouts to the WNBA. Number five, top 10 statues. Eli Finkiewicz.
They're short on ears and long on mouth.
That's going to be such a disaster at Missouri.
I feel bad for him. He seems like a really cool dude.
Good luck jumping from coordinator to the Sun Belt to Missouri and not having a spring practice in your first year in the SEC. Good luck with that. Number four, top 10 statues. DJ Augustine of Primo Porta?
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
When you think of DJ Augustine of Primo Porta, do you think of Texas Longhorns? Do you think of Charlotte Bobcats, Charlotte Hornets? Or what do you think of?
I think of him being broken on, I think it was like 2K, one of the 2K games. He was just absolutely broken from the corner.
Also the Orlando Magic. Number three, top 10 statues. The Statue of Limitations.
Disturbing the piece that got thrown out of a window.
Ah, yes.
You might as well go ahead and give your info there so people don't say, hey, that's supposed to be, that's not what that is.
Oh, no. If anybody sends me that message, I'll enjoy it. Number two, top 10 statues. The Great Leon Spinks of Giza.
I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster.
What was the end of that line?
Your mother was a hamster
and
your father was...
And your father was what? So much suspense there. I don't know the movie, but I know the line and I know the voice. It's bothering me. What is it?
And your father smelt of elderberries.
Who is that?
That's the Monty Python guy on top of the castle as they approach.
That's right. Number one. Top 10 statues. Number one on my list. Paul Chris the Redeemer.
Gotta remember that these are just simple farmers. You know, morons.
You gotta remember, Josh. Nobody probably knows any of these damn statues.
Paul Chris the Redeemer?
Ah, yes. How could I forget?
I think people know who Paul Chris the Redeemer is.
Of course.
Why how not? Could you forget that? Visually funny. That one there. Crazy week. Confederate flag banned, Jerry Richardson statues down, and Wake Forest is bringing a bachelor to the Bachelor Nation, former Deacon football player. Oh, and he's black. You are listening to WSJS Winston-Salem, WCOG Greensboro, WPCN Burlington, WMFR High Point. No signals making up, sports up, try it. There are two local feel-good stories to share with you today. First off, I'm a fan of the Bachelor and Bachelorette series, and so I was really happy to see that for the first time ever, they have a black bachelor, and I was even more excited to see he comes from the state of North Carolina, growing up in Wake Forest, the city of Wake Forest, North Carolina, adjacent to where I grew up in Youngsville. He went to Sanderson High School before going to Wake Forest to play football for Dave Clawson. He was a teammate with Tyler Cameron as well. So that's one piece of the local feel-good news to share with you. The other piece comes from live sports with the PGA Tour starting yesterday, the Charles Schwab Challenge. It's Harold Varner III, an East Carolina alum, a North Carolina guy, hasn't won on the tour yet. And right now, he's leading the way. He's in first place right in front of Jordan Spieth at 11 under par, second round action of the tournament at Colonial Golf Course. I know somebody who's probably really happy to see live golf on the television screens this week now joins us. It's Adam Gold, our early afternoon host, that you can follow at AGoldFan. How much cheery? More cheery have you been in studio seeing that golf, live golf, is on television?
Have you been able to tell how distracted I've been?
I wasn't going to say anything.
I mean, you know, when I got Rory McIlroy lining up a birdie putt, you know, sometimes I forget what we're talking about.
You might need to work in. See, you're used to being on later in the afternoon at your past gig. Now you're on at noon to 3. You might want to work in some live play-by-play in there. If there's a big putt, how would you do your golf whisper call of a Rory McIlroy moment?
Oh, I'd scream. I don't do golf whisper.
Oh, come on.
I don't do golf whisper. My wife often tells me that I don't need a microphone.
Let's recap what's been a really crazy and zany week where you have the Confederate flag being banned NASCAR events moving forward. You have the Jerry Richardson statue going down And based on the reporting of a guest who's going to join us in an hour, Scott Fowler of the Charlotte Observer, it doesn't seem Jerry Richardson wants to fight anymore having that stadium and that statue in front of the stadium. To you, what's been the most surprising headline?
So, man, look, it's all of these things. I mean, they're all related, right? Every single thing we've been dealing with over the last 3 weeks has all been related. And I made the joke today. I tried to keep it as subtle as possible that it was really cool to see NASCAR come into the 20th century on Wednesday. Granted, I know it's the 21st century. To me, it's all related. It's all about, at some point we understand that, everybody matters, and the feelings of some who have been largely ignored over the last, 400 years, their feelings matter too. And they should, and it should matter to us. It's not like we should, empathize with other people. I mean, if we're good human beings, their feelings shouldn't matter to us, and we should feel that. So this is all, it's all related. And I think it was a good week. I really do. I think it was a good week for humanity.
As expected, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill today that expects to go into effect next year. It looks like it's going to allow for college athletes to benefit off their name, image, and likeness to essentially sign endorsement deals. This comes in the wake of Bubba Cunningham and Kevin White having statements expressing concern about NIL legislation for the NCAA and with states passing things here. These, you've gotten to know these guys as I have, and these two strike me to be incredibly smart, self-aware people. This is a conversation that's been going on. I mean, the O'Bannon case started in 2014.
Yeah.
What they had to have known kind of what the blowback would have been if they put out these statements. Why do you think they chose to do it?
Well, I mean, Bubba wrote a letter asking for one law, and then that became the story. I still can't figure out why Kevin White released the statement. I mean, I have been actively trying to have a conversation with Kevin White since, as the chairman of the selection committee, the NCAA Men's Basketball Selection Committee. You know, he was essentially in charge of, you know, or in the room when they shut it down. So I've been trying to have a conversation with him since then. And remember, he's also on the U.S. Olympic Committee. There are tons of reasons to want to talk to Kevin White, including the fact that you could make the argument, although I don't think it's exact, that Duke's decision as a university to tell the ACC, hey, we ain't coming to Greensboro today, shut the ACC tournament down. I think it would have happened anyway. I think that might have been the last straw. I don't know why Kevin White even released a statement. I mean, nobody asked him to. And he hasn't spoken, and he won't speak, which is kind of curious to me, and I think a little troubling. Bubba Cunningham has – there are real concerns about name, image, and likeness, and then there are fake concerns. The real concerns are, yes, there is a recruiting problem, and how do you draw the line? How do you tell when a university's boosters – are using, you know, name, image, likeness inducements as a recruiting tool. And there are going to be situations where that is going to be difficult. My argument to that is they go on anyway. We just don't know about them. The other stuff, all of that opportunity, damaging college athletics, all that stuff's to me hot air. And none of it matters because nobody is asking the university to fork over a single dollar of their own. Now, the problem is they're scared that the middleman, them, is going to be cut out of the deal. I don't believe that will happen. But they are terrified that it will, and because everything is about money, they want to keep all of it for themselves.
Follow Adam on Twitter at AGoldFan. Listen to the Adam Gold Show, noon to 3 every day on Sports Up Tried, except for tomorrow and Sunday. You get the idea. Okay.
Yeah.
Earlier today, you told us what's for lunch. Last week, I told you how effective, I told you privately how effective radio advertising is, because last Wednesday when we caught up, or last Tuesday, you told me you were getting a rotisserie chicken for dinner. So I went to Costco later that night. I was shopping, and I saw a rotisserie chicken there for $5. And I grabbed that as well because of you. You influenced me. You sold me on it. Yep. So I got to ask, what's for dinner tonight, Adam Gold?
Tonight is going to be marinated chicken breasts with kind of black. I'll go blackened green beans. I'm going to do that as an accompaniment. But we have marinated chicken breasts. I can't decide if I'm going to throw them on the Blackstone or if I'm just going to do them in the broiler. But they're delicious, and the green beans will go well. Might mix in cornbread with it, but I think we might just go low carb and do chicken and green beans.
Robert, Blackstone or broiler? Where should he go here?
I'm a broiler man, but I've also never used a Blackstone that extensively. So you might have put me onto the Blackstone today.
I'll tell you, it's a game changer, and it's a game changer from this perspective. You can cook vegetables on the grill because it's not really a grill. It's a big, you know what it is, just a big sheet of metal. That
like
you cook
hibachi
on.
Style.
Yes, you can cook vegetables. I make pancakes. I can do 3 pounds of bacon and pancakes. And scrambled. I do everything on the Blackstone. It's the greatest invention for grilling breakfast ever.
We did steaks on the Blackstone last night.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we did.
Oh, you have Blackstone as well. It's the wave of the future.
Yeah. You're the man, Adam. Have a great weekend.
Oh, man. Take care.
There you go. That's Adam Gold. He's on Twitter at AGoldFan. Robert, you need to get the Blackstone involved in your life a little bit there. For me, do you know what you're doing for dinner tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to my dad's. I'm not cooking anymore.
336-777-1600. I'll steal their bit. I don't care. What's for dinner? I'm trying to think what I'm going to do. I think a Blue Apron box showed up at my house today. I'm trying to see what's on the menu there. You know, I'm actually worried because I think it got delivered around noon today, just sitting there. And usually they package these things well, but I haven't ordered one since it's been like 90 degrees out. So hopefully that's going to be okay. And trying to think what I have on the menu. I got, how about this, Robert? Curry chicken pitas? Should I do that? Jalapeno burgers? Or should I do pork noodles?
Is this all in the Blue Apron box?
That's right.
I don't know, man. Anytime you list stuff off there, I just feel like you're cheating.
Jalapeno burgers, pork noodles, or curry chicken pita.
Are the noodles made of pork? Or
no, there's like pork within the noodles.
Inside of the noodles.
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
So we'll eliminate that one for tonight,
yeah,
then.
Just do the burgers, I guess.
Jalapeno burgers. Do you say jalapeno or jalapeno?
I say it like a regular... You almost made me cuss. I say it like a regular person. What do you mean, how do I say it?
There are some people who say jalapeno.
Yeah, and those people, that's who you need to be fighting in the street, not threatening to beat me up every day over something. Jalapeno needs their ass kicked.
There is a Houston Texans-related headline that we need to get to at the top of the hour. Okay? That's a tease. We will get to that. Also, I think there's empirical evidence, damning empirical evidence, at just how far behind the Carolina Panthers are right now. That's next on The Drive.
Here comes the life of the party.
The Drive.
Corrupting the minds and the hearts of our children.
With Josh Graham.
Program for low expectations.
On Sports Hub Triad. Woo!
Before we get to our next guest, the award-winning columnist from the Charlotte Observer, our good friend Scott Fowler, I want to pass along this breaking news that just came down. The University of Houston is immediately suspending all voluntary workouts for student athletes as players returned and six players have tested positive for COVID-19, those six players being symptomatic as well. So they are immediately suspending their workouts, and I suspect as we move forward, there are going to be instances like this schools have to maneuver around. As we chatted with Bubba Cunningham last week about this, he said it's just such a fluid moving target. John Swofford said on this show, it's the number one most difficult issue he's ever dealt with as the commissioner of the ACC. And he's been the commissioner of the league since 97 and dealt with several expansion projects and even lost a team to, of course, the Big Ten in Maryland. Anywho, we're now being joined by our friend Scott Fowler, who had his own bit of breaking news yesterday, that being Jerry Richardson's statue that was removed earlier in the week in the name of, air quotes, public safety in Uptown Charlotte, is going to stay removed as it's not a significant issue for Jerry Richardson any longer, and the Panthers for sure do not want that if they don't have to have it there, don't want the stadium to have that statue right at its entrance. Scott, great work as always, but tell me this, where is the statue right now?
Can't say I know, Josh, unless they were supposed to have moved it already, but I haven't been by the stadium today. They parked it just inside the security gate, so its big move only was about 100 yards that first night. However, it was a very significant 100 yards. But they were going to put it in a storage facility, and that's where it was going to remain. I've gotten no indications that it would, for instance, end up at Jerry Richardson's house or another public place that he's given money, like, you know, Wofford or UNC Charlotte or anything like that. From what I know, it's just going to end up gathering dust like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark or something in a storage facility.
Explain this one to me. This was clearly a sticking issue in the sale of the team for Jerry Richardson to David Tepper. He made that known in his first press conference. I don't know if it was you, but it might have been someone asking about the statue specifically, and he gave the answer that it's contractually obligated to be there. And it seems like in your reporting that it's no longer an issue for Jerry Richardson. Why do you think he's had the change of heart?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer. It was me in that first press conference. It was the last question of the press conference, and I asked him, is that statue staying, or are you going to move it? And he said he was, quote, contractually obligated. However, the loophole there, Josh, was that in the matter of public safety, or if it looked like it was a safety hazard of some kind, that you could move it. And so they've done that without consulting Richardson. And yet then, you know, I have a source that is has good knowledge of this situation from Richardson's viewpoint, and the statue is not important to him anymore. Now, what has changed in the past 2 years, I do not know. But I do know that he's not going to champion any lawsuits. The statue is never coming back.
Follow him on Twitter at Scott_Fowler. Read his stuff in the pages of The Observer and at CharlotteObserver.com. 10 years from now, how do you think Jerry Richardson's going to be remembered? Fondly, or how it ended?
I think the easiest way to describe that is complicated. I talked to several people, and, you know, there are people on all sides of the equation for Jerry Richardson. My email and voicemail are full of them right now. And, you know, it's just not black or white with Richardson. It is, people don't like that. They want, you know, a hot take. They want a plus or a minus, a perfect or an awful, a saint or a devil. And in this case, I think Jerry Richardson is somewhere in between. He did bring football to the Carolinas. That will never change. He also was basically ousted in a scandalous way with that Sports Illustrated story. And now the statue is yet another chapter that will be part of
Richardson's legacy.
Scott, I'm looking at this Panthers roster. I see ESPN. They put out a ranking, 1 through 32, staff and roster continuity. The Panthers are dead last. And I've been saying this for the last few months, that I think what's going to hurt this Panthers team most isn't the losses they've had of players, and they've had significant losses, but it's just being behind as a result of this pandemic. Because the staggering facts we've learned over the last few weeks, Teddy Bridgewater, he's been working out with teammates that are not, or with wide receivers that are not his current teammates. Matt Rhule said on Rich Eisen yesterday, he's maybe recognized 20 players on his rosters by just facial recognition, that he's met maybe 20 people on his roster, and he's not going to meet the full team until they get to training camp. That staff continuity, what's being lost in the opportunity to install, I think hurts Carolina a ton. And also you have John Harbaugh saying that the NFL safety procedures passed down are, quote, humanly impossible for football. So I don't know how they're going to be able to catch up either. What do you think is going to be the biggest shortcoming for Carolina, the thing that Matt Rhule needs to overcome when we're allowed to get back together and the Panthers hopefully playing football?
I think the biggest thing is a lack of talent. All that stuff you mentioned is problematic, but you know, they still have a training camp and an exhibition season and such to work on it. But I think the talent that's gone out the door, and to some extent just has not been replaced. Oh, and I don't mean just last year. I mean over the past, since the Super Bowl run. I mean, it's bled out the door without as many replacements. McCaffrey's the notable exception. I mean, he will be the face of the franchise this year. But they're just not real good. If you line them up, and compare them to most NFL teams and to every other team in the NFC South. So I think that's it. I mean, but, you know, this is – Panther fans don't want to hear it, but they got to be patient. I mean, Matt Rhule is just like, you know, he is absolutely starting from as close to scratch as you can get in the NFL. And I like him. I've had several long conversations with him now, and I am impressed. But it is going to be, Temple or Baylor in the first year. I mean, that's a little bit what it's going to feel like here.
Last thing for you. I mean, I get off the air in 20 minutes. And when I get off, I'm going to have myself a beer. It's been a long week, and I'm looking forward to that because there's been a lot of things happening in the last few days. What do you view to be the more surprising thing? What NASCAR did in banning the Confederate flag, or everything you've been reporting on, Jerry Richardson's statue going down and Jerry Richardson not caring if it's ever put back up?
I would vote for Richardson. I think the Confederate flag and NASCAR, I mean, that issue has reared its head a few times, and, you know, it already, they were fairly far along on that. I mean, they already were banning it from just about everywhere except fan areas where you could still fly one in the infield as a fan and weren't going to be asked to take it down. But that, to me, they were, you know, very a long lean that way already. I mean, Dale Earnhardt Sr., I mean, all those years ago, he didn't care for the Confederate flag. Dale Earnhardt Jr. couldn't stand the thing. So that was going that way. I mean, it was a very good symbolic thing NASCAR did. But to me, the Richardson statue coming down, that is that's bigger. And the fact that I was shocked when I heard this and reported it, that it just wasn't important to him, because like you, I thought contractually obligated means he wants it there forever. Apparently he does not, and so he's fine with it. It is a really surreal twist to me.
Great work this week, Scott. Really good stuff, and appreciate you squeezing in time for us. As I mentioned, it has been a busy week for a lot of us, and I look forward to a time where I'll be seeing you, and I hope things are well.
All right. Same to you, Josh. Thank you.
You got it. That's Scott Fowler. He's on Twitter at Scott_Fowler from the Charlotte Observer. Read his stories and his breaking news at charlotteobserver.com. Okay. Robert, I strongly suggest you you see what Dave Chappelle did at midnight last night, the special 8:46. You need to watch that if you're a fan of Chappelle, if you're a fan of comedy, if you're somebody that's looking for the proper context and perspective on what's happened in this country the last few weeks. That's something I think you need to keep an eye on. Also, there isn't a good transition from Jerry Richardson and from the Dave Chappelle special about very serious things to The Bachelor, but you got, of course, a Wake Forest football player, a former Demon Deacon named Matt James, who's going to be the next Bachelor. He's the first African-American Bachelor. It's about damn time. How interested are you to watch?
Just about as interested as I was in the last Bachelor or Bachelorette or whatever.
Equality.
Yep, same thing. You got it.
Just as interested. Don't lie to me, though. You had fun watching the last season of The Bachelor when you hung out with us. We would get some White Claws, and we'd just be hanging out, watching the episode. I mean, come on, it's a lot of fun, Robert. Live tweet it.
Okay, I'm not going to say that I don't enjoy Mystery Science Theater 3000-ing terrible shows, but I am going to say no, I do not enjoy watching those shows.
What is your guilty pleasure TV show? 336-777-1600. On Twitter, at SportsHubTriad. For me, it's The Bachelor. Tell me the thing that, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't volunteer to somebody that you watch.
I guess professional wrestling, because most people are already ready to poo-poo that.
I'm down to have this conversation if you want to. I think it's an important conversation. You know what? I'm glad we're having it. Why is The Bachelor more embarrassing in some people's minds to watch than wrestling? Like,
I don't want to have this conversation.
Actually, you know, I'll word it a different way. What's more fake, wrestling or The Bachelor?
Nah, you've lost me now. We're not going to have this conversation or any conversation about this.
Oh, come on, Robert.
No, you
it's
can
an important
frame it.
Conversation.
No, because the part of The Bachelor, people train their whole life to be professional wrestlers. And not only that, they're actually athletes, professional athletes. Not these people that come on The Bachelor and do what producers tell them to do as a part of a B show on ABC.
Actually, there are a lot of professional athletes who are on this show, Robert.
I'm glad you segued out of this because I was getting hot.
Oh, no, I'm not segueing.
No, I'm done. It is The Bachelor. The Bachelor is the worst show. There is nothing art about it. It is garbage television. And professional wrestling is an art. You can't just hop on screen and do it.
Hey, reality TV isn't that easy either, Robert.
All right, guys, have a great Friday. No rhinestone, anything. Josh has blown my gasket.
Come on. What's more fake?
20 seconds.
Wrestling or The Bachelor?
15.
336-777-1600.
10. 5.
It's not time for the weekend yet. Cut the music. Cut it. I mean, I think we've given a fair amount of time to the sport of wrestling on this show.
Oh, my God. No, dude, are you even kidding me? He's literally just trying to infuriate me. I wish you guys could see him. He has this, I want to cuss so bad. He has this poop-eating grin on his face.
Yeah.
Somebody's calling in. Let me get this.
All right, get to the phones.
So I don't have to talk to you.
777-1600. Robert, he's actually agitated. It's very rare to have Robert uncomfortable about a subject to the point he's not willing to talk about it on the air. His love life, fair game. Fill in the blank. His debauchery, he doesn't care talking about that stuff. Stealing stuff when he was a kid, doesn't mind talking about it. I mean, it doesn't pass the statute of limitations. Robert is one of those that usually he's game to talk about anything, but if it's disparaging in any way of wrestling, that's where he has issues. Let's go to John in Winston-Salem. John, wrestling or The Bachelor, what's more fake?
The Bachelor by far.
The Bachelor's more fake?
Yes. This is all circled around a fake relationship. These guys, as Robert clearly pointed out, are professional athletes. This is not something that you just willy-nilly just go hop off a top rope without trying to tear your ACL or break your ankle in half.
Yeah, yeah. John, thanks for the phone call. Have a great weekend, man.
Yeah, get this guy out of here. I don't want that.
I've got some professional athletes that have been in The Bachelor. I've done a lot of homework today, John. Like, Graham Bunn was a pro basketball player who played 2 years of semi-pro ball in Germany. How about that, John? How about Justin Sherrod, season 2 of The Bachelorette, pro baseball player, 19th round draft pick from Rollins College. 6 years in the Red Sox organization, never made it to the show, but batted .264. Come on.
I'm not saying any of these guys aren't athletes. They just don't have to be athletes to be on The Bachelor.
They generally have more success on The Bachelor.
Well, yeah, because they're athletic and they look good, but that doesn't change the fact that the show is fake.
Now you've made me to be this anti-wrestling guy.
Yeah, I didn't say this at all.
I didn't say you could just wrestle willy-nilly. I didn't say that. I mean, Robert, you know me. I love wrestling.
Josh, I do know you, and you don't love wrestling. You love to...
I tolerate wrestling now. I used to hate wrestling. I tolerate it now. I understand it. I'm interested in it. I love the movie, The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke in it. I love the Andre the Giant documentary. I have an interest in it, but I ain't paying to watch it. I can assure you that.
Well, literally no one is paying to watch
it. And Monday Night Raw. I'm interested what gets more ratings, Monday Night Raw or The Bachelor.
This. They blow The Bachelor out of the water. And it's
I don't
even,
think we have done this because I don't remember that.
We did this in Greenville. When
okay,
you were
years
like,
ago?
Okay, yeah. So
see,
am
me
I,
and Robert.
So what am I looking up?
So me and Robert have
the
been
highest
fist fighting.
Ratings of last year for The Bachelor and wrestling?
Yeah. So me, no. Just like a general Monday Night Raw versus a general Bachelor.
How many pay-per-view buys does The Bachelor do?
I don't know. So it does seem like me and Robert have been having this discussion for a while now. We're replaying the hits, man. Like, the most popular criticism of a music station is you play the same damn song too much. There's a reason why they do that. So, Robert, you need to buck up and grow up, man.
I'm getting the ratings right now.
It's about The Bachelor versus wrestling. What's more fake? Should have probably got Scott Fowler's take on that. As Robert's looking that up, a reminder. Find the best of podcast for The Drive. Just search The Drive with Josh Graham wherever you get your podcasts, and the best of this show will be available to you on demand. And today really was a lot of fun where we had Adam Gold with us, David Hale from ESPN, and of course Scott Fowler talking about Jerry Richardson. What did you find?
The Bachelor averaged between 0.8 and 0.9, and Monday Night Raw averages between 1.7 and 1.8.
We've got Rhinestone Cowboy Friday next.